Welcome to the Ogletree Deacons Podcast, a quick digest of compelling legal issues and practical insights delivered to you in less than 20 minutes.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining me today. My name is Kelly Carden, and I'm an attorney in Ogletree Deacons, Connecticut and New York offices. The purpose of today's podcast is to give you an overview of a successful workplace investigation and a few quick tips to help you along the way. So let's set the stage with a hypothetical. It's an all too familiar situation for an HR rep or an in-house attorney. It's a Tuesday afternoon. You're at your desk trying to finish up the 10 projects you have in front of you when there's a knock at the door. You look up and you see an employee you vaguely recognize. Brandon. Hi, I'm Brian from accounting, he says. Do you have a minute? Of course, come in. He sits down on the edge of his chair across from you, clearly uncomfortable. What can I help you with, you prompt. Well, I don't want to be a troublemaker, but you know Leslie in customer service? You nod. Well, he looks down at his hands, folding and unfolding them. I've heard that her boss is being inappropriate with her. I don't know the specifics, but I figured I should let you know. Brian goes on to tell you that he's known Leslie for a long time, and recently she seems despondent. He's also heard from another coworker that Leslie was crying in the bathroom last week, and when the coworker asked Leslie what was wrong, she said that her boss was hitting on her and making her job more difficult than it needs to be. You ask Brian some additional questions, but he doesn't offer any more specific information. You thank him and remind him of the company's commitment to no retaliation, more on that later, and Brian leaves. Once he's gone, the first question that comes to your mind is, do I really have to investigate? I mean, Leslie didn't come and make a complaint, and Brian didn't really offer any specific details. And of course, the answer to your question is yes. Typically, you want to investigate any claim of potentially unlawful conduct that you receive. It doesn't matter in this case that the alleged victim is not the one complaining. It also doesn't matter if you receive complaints about alleged victims and alleged harassers who are no longer employed by the company. In all of these situations, it's critical that you promptly commence an investigation if you suspect there might be unlawful conduct in the workplace. But what does prompt mean in this situation? So it typically means that you want to start your investigation within 24 hours of receiving a complaint, if at all possible. Not only is a prompt commencement critical to ensuring that any harassment is stopped as soon as possible, but it also helps ensure that the alleged harasser will not target any new victims. It's also important because it sends the message to employees that yours is not a company that is going to sit idly by in the face of a complaint of harassment. And all of this goes a long way to helping protect the company from legal action. Indeed, depending on your position in the company, your knowledge of any harassment could be imputed to the company, so it's critical that you start the investigation as soon as possible. Now, the first thing you're going to want to do is to establish the scope of your investigation. So you're going to ask yourself, what is the subject matter of this investigation? And in our hypothetical, it seems pretty discreet, at least initially. The subject matter seems to relate to whether Leslie is being subjected to inappropriate conduct by her boss. You also want to consider who you expect will be interviewed and what issues you're going to cover during the interviews. So as elementary as this sounds, defining the scope of your investigation is incredibly important because you need to know precisely what you are investigating in order to conduct an effective investigation. One thing I wanted to flag for you is that at the beginning of your investigation, you need to consider what role attorney-client privilege is going to have in the investigation, if any. And you're also going to want to consider whether an internal or an external investigator should be conducting the investigation. These are topics for a different day, but I did want them to be on your radar. The next thing you should consider is whether you need to take any immediate remedial measures. So immediate remedial measures are measures that are intended to kind of press pause on any alleged harassment in the workplace, set things, you know, back to a neutral place while the investigation is pending. So typically what you'll do is you will either put the accused on administrative leave or you'll transfer the accused to a different department, something like that. But one thing you want to be very careful about here is to make sure that you are not taking any actions against the complainant that could be perceived as adverse. So generally speaking, you do not want to put the complainant on administrative leave. You don't want to move the complainant to a different department, because this could potentially give rise to a retaliation claim down the road. If the complainant says, hey, I made this complaint, then they put me out of work. I missed all these big opportunities. Now look at me, you know, I'm set back in my career all because I made this complaint. So this is something you really want to be careful about and treat with a lot of sensitivity. The one thing I will note is that the analysis might be different if it is the complainant who is asking for, you know, to be moved to a different department or for some kind of change in his or her work circumstance. But just proceed with caution on that front. Once you've considered all of these preliminary issues, you want to make sure to gather any relevant documentation. At a minimum, you're going to want to look at the personnel files of the complainant and the accused. You're going to want to look at any complaints that have been made by or against either party. And depending on the circumstances, you might need to review emails between the parties or performance reviews, performance documentation. And in some cases, it might be a good idea to review the personnel files of other employees. But this is all situation specific. You need to look at this on a case-by-case situation to determine what information you need to conduct effective interviews. So after you've defined the scope of your investigation, created a preliminary plan of action, and reviewed the relevant documents, so the first thing you want to do is make sure that you select an appropriate location for the interview. And generally, you want the location to be relatively private. You want to avoid the situation where you're conducting interviews in the fishbowl conference room and everybody walking by can see in. You also want to avoid the situation where you're parading your witnesses through the workplace to the investigation room. That's also, you know, not desirable. You want to make sure that you're being discreet, because if you're being discreet, then the employees you're interviewing are going to feel more comfortable and they're going to be more forthcoming in the information they give you. Another thing you need to determine early on is who's going to be in these interviews. So, of course, you're going to be there asking the questions. The employee witness is going to be there. But it's also a good idea to have usually another member from HR in the interviews as well. Having another participant will reduce the risk of a witness falsely claiming that the company did or said something unlawful during the meeting. But if you're looking at having two attorneys sit in on the interview, I would caution against that because that can have a chilling effect on the witness. You know, the witness is sitting there, sees two attorneys sitting across the table from them and thinks, oh my gosh, this is a big deal. I shouldn't say anything, that kind of a thing. So again, these are just issues you need to be sensitive to and think through before you start interviewing witnesses. If the employee asks to have a representative present, you know, typically you can tell them that friends, family members, other coworkers are not permitted in the interview. The one thing that I would caution here is that if yours is a unionized workforce, the analysis might be different. So just be aware of that. If your workforce is unionized and the employee is asking to have someone present, they very well might be entitled to that. Once the interview begins, you want to make sure that you're conveying certain key messages, including those related to confidentiality and retaliation, right up front. On the confidentiality side, you want to ensure the witness that you will keep what they're telling you as confidential as practicable, but that you cannot guarantee complete confidentiality. And the reason for this is probably pretty obvious, but you know, you might need to disclose some of the information the witness is telling you in the context of your investigation to make sure that you have properly asked questions to other witnesses. So you can't guarantee complete confidentiality. And likewise, you want to make sure that you are not demanding complete confidentiality. Generally, you want to signal to the witness that you'd appreciate, you know, that the witness understands this is a sensitive situation, but you don't want to tell the witness that they cannot say what you've discussed or what they've told you to anyone outside of the context of the investigation. And the reason for that is that it could run afoul of labor and employment laws. So you want to be careful. Additionally, you want to make sure that the witness is familiar with and understands your company's no retaliation policy. And this is basically you emphasizing that the employee should not be retaliated against for participating in the investigation process and encouraging them to report any perceived retaliation. Additionally, you want to make sure that they understand that they can't treat anyone else differently as a result of the investigation. And this is a point that you should hit at least at the beginning and the end of every interview, because retaliation is just so important that it not occur after an investigation. So it's definitely worth reiterating. Additionally, it's a good practice to tell witnesses that you expect them to be truthful and to give you complete answers, just to sort of set the table in terms of your expectations. And then you'll want to also explain the investigation process and the purpose of the interview. In terms of technique, you generally want to start with broad, open-ended questions and narrow as you go. You don't want to disclose any more information than is necessary. Your job is to gather information, not to disseminate. So you want to ask broad questions and then follow up down the avenue of any answers that you're being given. This is particularly true if the witness is using kind of buzzwords or buzz blanket words, maybe is a good way to describe them, words like bully, harass, hostile. If they use those words, you need to follow up to figure out what exactly they're talking about. And this can be a very time-consuming and exacting process, especially if you're dealing with the witness who's a bit upset or a bit flustered. But you need to make sure that you are thoroughly probing all of those lines of inquiry to make sure that you've gotten at any conduct or any concerns that the employee has about the workplace. Another great tip that I like to use is to summarize back what the witness has told you and ask if it's accurate. So this is not only a great tip in terms of ensuring that you've got the story right? Because you have now put it back in your own words and they've said, yes, that's what I mean. So it's great. You get a good understanding. But it's also very helpful because it has the effect of letting the witness really know that you are listening to their story and you're hearing them. So that's very helpful because, again, right, you're trying to get as much information out of the witness as you can. So showing that you're engaged, that you're listening can go a long way to helping you accomplish that. So during these interviews, you are going to be taking notes. Your notes should be as detailed as possible. And this is also, you know, another reason why it's a good idea to have another person there. Sometimes it's a bit tricky to be taking notes while you're asking the questions and trying to engage with the witness. So, you know, having another person there can help with that. But an important point about notes is that your notes should contain facts only. This is incredibly important because if the investigation turns into a litigation down the road, or if the facts underlying the investigation turns into a litigation down the road, your notes could potentially be discoverable. So you want to stay away from any kind of legal conclusions and things like that and make sure you're just giving the facts, just recording the fact. Okay, so armed with these tips, you are ready to meet with Leslie. When she arrives, guess what? She tells you that she's not interested in speaking with you. She says that she doesn't want to be a rat and that she can take care of her own problems. So you are faced with an uncooperative complainant. So when you're in this situation, you really want to try to engage with the witness and understand why the witness feels reluctant to talk to you. A lot of times this does have to do with fear of possible retaliation. And indeed, after some gentle prodding, Leslie admits that she is worried about losing her job. She feels that her boss is an important person in the company, but you assure her that retaliation in any form may not be permitted, because really you cannot say this too many times during an investigation, and you proceed with the interview. So with Leslie, you certainly want to remain objective at all times, but you also probably want to show a bit of empathy. So the rule of thumb that I like to use here is you don't want your empathy to go so far as to turn into sympathy. You want to remain objective, but you also want to empathize with the witness again to let them know that you are hearing what they're saying. So during the interview, you want to make sure that you've determined the identity of the alleged harasser. You want to make sure you've determined where and when the alleged incident occurred. And then you need to determine whether this is an isolated one-off kind of situation or whether it's part of a pattern of conduct. And once you've determined that, you want to make sure that you get all the specific details about any incidents that Leslie can remember. You also want to ask about the complainant's reaction to the incidents. You know, how did this make you feel? What did you think when that happened? Questions like that. And you want to determine if the complainant has spoken to anyone else about the incident. It's a good idea to tell the complainant that, you know, the company takes the complaint seriously and is being investigated thoroughly. And then you can also ask the complainant, what do you want or expect as a result of the investigation? This can be a really helpful question in terms of you understanding, number one, the workplace dynamics, and number two, what you can do to help this employee. At the end of the interview with Leslie, you generally want to ask, and this goes for all of the witness interviews, you want to ask, is there anything else you think I should know? This is a great, broad, open-ended question that I like to use in investigation interviews and depositions alike, because you never know what you're going to get. And a lot of times, you know, people will be like, no, I think you covered everything. But every now and again, you will get something totally unexpected and something that you are really glad that you learned by asking that question. So I definitely recommend using that as a little tip to workplace investigation interviews. So after you meet with Leslie, you call in her supervisor, Bill. He is, not surprisingly, not particularly happy to be in the interview with you. So after you talk about confidentiality and no retaliation, your first order of business is to inform Bill of the reason for the interview. That is, that the investigation is required by law and company policy. When you're talking to the accused, you want to make sure that he or she is apprised of all the claims made. This doesn't necessarily mean disclosing all of the specifics about the factual allegations surrounding the complaint, but you want to make sure that the accused has a strong understanding of why he or she is there and is being questioned. During the interview, you'll want to make sure that you address all of the accusations, but in some cases, it's a better idea to walk through them individually rather than kind of front-loading them at the start of the interview. And again, when you're talking to the accused, you need to make sure that you are remaining objective and that you are focused on the facts. It's also a good idea to let the accused know that your job there is that of an impartial fact finder and that no determination will be made as to the merits of the complaint until the investigation is concluded. So that can go a ways to helping the accused feel a bit more comfortable in the interview, knowing that you are there gathering facts and not passing judgment. After you've interviewed the accused and the complainant, you want to move on to any witnesses. So here you might consider talking to the employee who saw Leslie crying in the bathroom and any other individuals mentioned during the interviews. You also might consider talking to Brian again if you think that there are any leads that you need to follow up on there. The game with these third-party interviews is to get as much information as you can without unnecessarily disseminating information. So during these interviews, you want to be really aware of the privacy concerns for both the complainant and the accused. Remember, you are there to gather information, not to disseminate it. So once you've finished your interviews and reviewed any relevant documents, you need to assess the information. And again, you're going to do this objectively. You're going to look at the complaints, you're going to look for any corroborating evidence, and you're going to assess the plausibility of the witnesses' stories. Once you've done that, you need to determine whether or not you're going to write an investigation report. So generally here, if the complaint is one of, you know, kind of a general workplace disagreement, employee relation problem, something like that, then an executive summary of your findings is probably going to be sufficient. But if yours was an investigation involving allegations of possible unlawful conduct, policy violations, serious unprofessional conduct, then this is the case where you would want to put together a detailed, well-written report, particularly if you are going to be doling out any discipline or imposing remedial measures. When you're putting together the report, you want to outline all of the complainant's allegations, and then you want to focus again on the facts rather than legal analysis. You also need to set forth your conclusions, and again, you want to make sure you're doing it in a way that is focused on the facts that you have uncovered during your investigation. If at the end of your investigation, you determine that there has been inappropriate conduct in the workplace, you need to figure out what kind of discipline you're going to impose on the accused or the harasser. If you are not going to move to terminate, then you need to make sure that any discipline is documented and put in the accused's file, very clearly written up. You need to ensure that any disciplinary action is actually carried out. Finally, you'll need to meet with the complainant and the accused to communicate the results of your investigation. So when you meet with Leslie, you should inform her whether you were able to substantiate her complaint or not. And then if you have taken any disciplinary action against Bill, you can let her know that, generally disciplinary action was imposed, but you shouldn't go into the specifics of any remedial or preventative measures that you are recommending as a result of the investigation. Similarly, you'll want to meet with Bill to let him know what you found in the course of your investigation, and then to talk through any disciplinary action that you might be imposing here. So That is a workplace investigation in a nutshell. I hope that you have found this helpful, and I thank you for tuning in.
Thank you for joining us on the Ogletree Deacons podcast. You can subscribe to our podcasts on iTunes or through your favorite podcast service. And remember, the information in this podcast is for informational purposes only and is not to be construed as legal advice.